So good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? So we thought we would do this morning a little bit different than we normally do Missions Month, I guess. Because what we're doing is if this is your first Sunday with us, we are taking all month this month and we're talking about missions. And typically on this month, we will support one major project. But this year, what we decided to do is we decided to support some homegrown missionaries, some folks that are going onto the mission field, whether short term or long term, and really kind of push our homegrown missionaries. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's one of the things that I love about Harvest is that there are so many folks that are associated with Harvest that are in ministry, have been in ministry, that are in missions or have been in missions or going into missions. And so I just absolutely love that about this church. And so today we're going to be talking with Jason and Katrina Bickett. Now, I've had a few people ask me already what kind of talk show this is going to be. I said, hopefully, it's going to be, Jerry Springer. None of y'all know who Jerry Springer is. He's going to flip tables and everything.
It's Oprah. You get a car.
Oprah,
you get a car.
We don't know who's paying for it, but you're getting a car. And
Dean said that's not in the budget.
Yeah. And so we decided to do this. I did want to open up just with one quick scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says this in the King James Version. It says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." And we know that that was talking about supporting and honoring local church leadership. But I really felt like that phrase is what we're attempting to do today is we're getting to know those who are laboring among us. Many of us know Jason and Katrina, but maybe some of you don't. And so this is what we wanted to do today. We wanted to give you an opportunity just to get to know them and let you know what they're doing and where they're going and how you can help in that process. Amen? So would you guys give Jason and Katrina a great big hand?
Thank you.
So, guys, we're going to start kind of easy this morning, and then we're going to work our way to the deepest, darkest secret stuff. And
biggest regret in life. Yeah,
biggest regret in life. Hidden sin that you wanted to confess to everybody in the room today.
It's just what I wanted to do this morning. Thanks, Pastor.
Yep, exactly. Woke up this morning thinking, hey, you know what? I just want to confess to a whole bunch of people. And so what I want to do is I just wanted to kind of start off by I'm going to assume that there are people here that may not know you. And so what I want you to do is kind of, in a nutshell, kind of tell everybody who you are apart from missions, like who you are, where you born, raised, all that kind of stuff, apart from missions. Kind of introduce yourselves.
Okay, we are Jason and Katrina Bickett. You already covered that part, didn't you? Okay, Jason is actually from Chicago, so you'll have to excuse him if he doesn't eat biscuits and gravy and all the things and drink sweet tea. That's okay, I don't either. But he's from the Chicago area. I'm from here, grew up in this church, so those of you who have been around for a while, you know me. But we have two little girls. You saw them in the video, especially Viviana there at the end. She is 3 years old, and Norabelle just turned one yesterday. Happy birthday to our little lady. We met at Rhema, actually. So they joke about going to Rhema and getting your MRS degree. It happened. We really did. He got his MR and I got my MRS. But we met there. And I left for the field immediately after we met and started dating. We dated via Skype for 2 years while I was in Peru, and then we got married after I got back in 2014. Anything I missed?
It was good.
So when we told our families that we were moving to Oklahoma from South Carolina, they all about had heart attacks. So how are y'all's families doing, knowing that you guys are going to be leaving in the near future?
Well, my dad kind of got over that a long time ago because I took a series of 3 trips to Russia starting in around 2006. And there was a night when my dad was overcome by emotion, fear, various things like that. But we were standing in front of a little painting that we have in our home back up in Chicago area of Jesus. And we prayed at that time. And for ever since then, basically, to keep it short, is that he's been at peace about it. Yeah. So, and well, my mom's in heaven, so she's definitely, before she passed, though, 2 years ago, she was, last thing she said to me, pretty much, that I remember was that she was very proud of me and us, because Christina was around at that time. And so those two are definitely all good with it. My brother, he's fine. He's got three boys, so he's kind of lost in his own world. That's my side of the story.
My parents are not so happy about this, though. Yeah, we have two little kids, You know, their first grandchildren, all this stuff you guys can imagine. They're not excited about it. My mom doesn't like to talk about it. she doesn't like the fact that we live an hour and a half away, let alone we're going to move to the other side of the world. So they're handling it a little bit rough, but they're getting used to it. They understand that being in the center of God's will is the safest place that we can be.
Yeah, I think, I actually don't even think our family misses us. It's our children. They're like, I mean, if y'all come back, we don't care, but we just need those grandbabies. So how do your kids play a part into your missions work?
Viviana is already just absolutely loving the idea. She's chomping at the bit, so to speak. She cannot wait to go to Peru. She actually got a belated birthday card a couple weeks ago, and it had $20 inside it. She knows that we're raising funds and itinerating. Mama, I got money. I didn't go to Peru now. We didn't go. She is so cute. She's so excited. She watches all of her movies in Spanish now. She still doesn't understand any of it, but she cannot wait to get there and be with her mamito, who's the one I refer to as my Peru. Peruvian mom. So they're doing great, and we believe that they're graced to be missionaries just as much as we are.
Amen. So you guys have been here for a while. Like, why now? Why do y'all feel like now's the time?
This is kind of a long story, but
brace yourselves.
Right. Why now? Because the door is definitely open. There's things going down in Peru that are just the groundswell of the moving of the Holy Spirit is taking off. There's two missionary families that we talked about. They're already there, and they're already seeing things like pastors across denominational lines coming together. They're seeing miracles on the streets already. So this is just the beginning, and we want to get down there as fast as we can because we want to do our part and be part of that team down there and get this work done that was given to us by God. As many of you know, of course, we were kind of headed towards Israel and the Russian-speaking people. That's been put on hold. The short of it is that God gave us a Macedonian call, so we were headed one direction, and all of a sudden the Spirit said to go to a different one. And he also said, basically, that just like Abraham had to sacrifice his Isaac, that I had to sacrifice my Isaac, that is, to minister to the Russian-speaking people. But just like Abraham as well, in Hebrews he says that Abraham was considered a hero of faith because he believed that God could raise the dead from the grave. And likewise, I believe wholeheartedly, in the right time, we will be headed back to the Russian-speaking people in Israel. But for now, we are pumped, absolutely pumped, because this indeed is the door that God is opening for us right now, and all the things that he's making happen down there and through us. We're excited that this is indeed the right time. Everything's opening. All the doors are opening. Everything seems moving in the right direction. With the other attempt to get to Israel, it just wasn't the same. Doors were closing. Things weren't quite working. So this time is the right time.
Do y'all speak Spanish? Are you fluent in Spanish?
Yo sí, él no. Yes, I speak Spanish fluently. Jason's working on it.
So what is a typical day for you guys on the missions field?
I will start by saying a typical day for a missionary, especially as a family, is going to be just like a typical day for a family here. You're going to have your routines. You're going to have the things that you have to do with your kids, and you have to go to work or whatever it may be. Work for us will be, you know, working in the church. We won't have a secular job. We can't do that legally. But there are going to be times when, okay, we need to go to the jungle for the next couple of weeks to help with this church plant. So those routines get put on hold. But in Peru, where I lived before, a typical day may be, and I remember, I was working with Dan and Brenda Clowers at the time, and they would always tell me, Don't try to get 15 things done in one day. You are not in the States. You don't have your car. You're not, everything's not right here together. You have to walk to the market to get what you need for dinner today. You have to deal with, you know, the cultural change and the language change. So that's part of my mindset that I'm having to deal with. But it is one of those things. It's a slower pace of life because you have to go, you know, you don't go to the supermarket and buy 2 weeks worth of groceries like we do now. You go and you might buy for today and tomorrow. And so that becomes part of your routine. You have to do that every day. If you live right there at the church, then you've got to deal with all the things that, you know, pastors and such would be dealing with on a regular basis. So it is similar, but there are changes as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you have anything to add to that?
Good.
So, in Peru, tell me kind of what the spiritual landscape is. What's going on there?
Well, there's obviously a humongous Catholic influence, and by and large, it's benign in terms of, you know, you can preach the gospel on the streets, you can say what you want to say, and you're pretty much free in that regards. The friction comes when you attempt to buy land or build a church. Some of the bureaucracy, it starts being difficult to get around because they know you're Protestant or you're not Catholic. So that's kind of that one. The other aspect of it, every once in a while, in fact, we were down there last fall for a couple of weeks in Peru, and we were attempting to kind of get the word out that there's a children's party going on at the church, the Protestant church, our Pentecostal church. And you can tell every once in a while you get somebody that's pretty much sincere Catholic that they'll look at you kind of funny and they give you that impression that they want you to go away once you mention Pentecostal. And those are kind of the two places I personally have, I haven't seen so much of the buying land, that's what I've been told, but the other aspect I've seen personally, that there's some of that. The other aspect of the spiritual condition is there are still plenty of animistic religions around in the mountains, especially in the jungle. And so there's those kind of strongholds. Other strongholds, I believe, or poverty is pretty big there. Of course, we're going to run into things and we'll learn as we go, but those are the things I can think of off the top of my head, and I'll let my wife kind of finish it up.
I'll give you some statistics. Technically, the nation is considered 94.5% Christian, but only 14% are evangelical. Okay, so what does evangelical mean? That means that you believe that salvation only comes through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So that means of those other people, that the rest of that 94%, we wouldn't actually consider them saved. So they're still lost. They don't understand that they need Jesus. And then we have, like Jason mentioned, the tribes and the animism and the syncretism. They try to keep some of that, those old beliefs and the sun god, the Incas mm-hmm. worshipped the Inti gods and all those things, and they bring them in and they try to mix them together. So that's something that we have to battle a little bit as well.
Yeah. Okay. So understanding that, what are you guys, like, how do you plan to reach people? Like, what are you going to be doing with the team that's there?
The major push, the big goal that we have is a church planting push. We have currently 10 congregations in the entire nation of Peru. Our goal is within 5 years to push to 100 congregations. That's a big number. Obviously, we're not doing it alone. We've got national leaders that are already working on that. We've got two other missionary families that are there. But a lot of the ways that we will go into a new area, one of the first things we do is we'll do children's ministry. There are kids everywhere. So you just go and you hold like a VBS type of event out on the streets. You do a sidewalk Sunday school sort of thing. And you start getting these kids coming, maybe get them on people to people, do a feeding program. And you get this group of kids. And from there, you build a church. You start getting their families involved. One of the other things that we will also be working with, especially in the city, are the small groups that are there. You know, house church type of concept, essentially, especially among professionals. So in the city, you've got people who are learning English or want to learn English. So we can mm-hmm. use that as an inlet to get to them. And then spirit-led street evangelism, I'll let Jason expound upon that. That's something that we really feel like God is leading us into, and the church is already seeing some work in that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Again, for the interest in time, spirit-led street evangelism, I'll give a little story to give you an example of what that means to me. In Russia, where I have most of my missionary experience, there's a day I came out of a wedding for my friend, and I was coming home. I was talking to God about the whole concept of marriage and wedding and what it means for me, etc. And somewhere in the middle of that conversation, God says, I need you to get off the bus and go just get off at the next stop. And I was like, no ways, Lord, why would I do that? I'm in the middle of a place I don't really know. My language skills are nowhere near as good as they should be. And so I pretty much missed it. I went right past that bus stop. God was intending me to get off. And thankfully, God is merciful as well as gracious. And he kept on poking at me. And I eventually relented and got off the bus, got back on the bus, went back down south, got off the bus at the right stop. And I was standing on the curb. I had no idea where to go. I didn't see anything in my field of view that was telling me that there's a ministry opportunity. But then all of a sudden, that still small voice of God came into my soul and my heart, and he said, go straight. And so through a series of straight, left, right, straight, left, left, right, I eventually came to a gas station. And at that gas station, I recognized somebody. It was a homeless gentleman that I had worked with from a homeless shelter that was attached to a church I was really working for. And I could tell that he was back on the street. You can just see it on him. And in the moment he saw me, he began to weep. And he came up to me, and my understanding of what he was saying, unfortunately, again, my Russian wasn't all that great, but I could understand him saying things like, I can't do it. I want to be good. I want to be good enough to be in God's graces. I want to be good and do all the things that I need to for the church. And in essence, he was being very contrite and just sad that he felt like he couldn't do it. And so I thankfully had my Bible that was in both Russian and English, and I pointed him to the scripture of 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. I don't know if he could read it, and I tried to read it in Russian, so I don't know. But you know, my weakness, though, may have made it difficult, but all the same, I did my best to comfort him. And I kind of walked away from the meeting like, that was awesome, God. You just directed me to someone that really needs a moment with you and from a touch from your people. And but, you know, I felt like I didn't do right. I didn't say enough words. You know, I felt very weak in my own strength. And but then, again, that still small voice came to me and said that you'll see him someday in heaven. And it's that kind of stuff where you make yourself available, basically, yeah. And say, Lord, I need to know exactly who needs your touch today.
Yeah.
And that is street-led evangelism.
Yep. Spirit-led. Let me pause right here because, and of course, I don't know everybody that's in the room this morning, but I will say this. That is one thing that I kind of sets us apart. We are unapologetically spirit-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever label you want to put on us. But we're unapologetically. And one of the reasons, it's not so that we can come in and have wild church services, but we believe that we've been given the Spirit of God. We've been empowered by the Spirit of God so that we can go out under his leading and reach the lost, reach those who are far from Jesus. And that's exactly what Jason was talking about. But the thing is a lot of times folks have no issue with that being said about someone on the mission field. But the fact of the matter is there are people living in Sand Springs that need you to hear the voice of God this week.
Amen.
Right? They are in the middle of a mess. They're in the middle of a turmoil. They're in the middle of, you know, their marriage is on the rocks. Their kids are going crazy. They've been given a horrible diagnosis, and they need someone who has the Spirit of God within them to listen to the Spirit of God, not just go, you know what, our missionaries can go and they can reach. No. I'm talking about here in Sand Springs. There may be somebody at Quick Trip this week that's sitting there and they're contemplating suicide, and if you'll listen to the Spirit of God and he'll lead you over there, all of a sudden they can be delivered, set free, and put on the right path. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I like the Spirit-filled evangelism aspect of it. So, back to Peru, kind of what you guys are doing. What's the time frame? Like, when are you guys like yesterday you wanted to leave from
yes.
Mission Field?
Yeah. Viviana wanted to leave yesterday for sure. Yeah. We have set a goal. Obviously, it depends on our funding. We have to get our budget raised before we can leave. World Missions wants to see that budget in our account two consecutive months before they'll say, okay, you can go. Yeah. We set a goal to be 100% funded in 100 days. That started on March 1st. So that would be June 9th would be the end of our 100 days. We are currently running about 50%. So we are still definitely needing more support. We're looking for people to help us. We'll talk about that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But our goal is to be out of here by the end of August, mm-hmm. Early September at the latest. One of the other families that we'll be working with, they pastor the local church where we'll be staying, and they need to come to the States on furlough for several months. So if we can be there beforehand, get settled, and help fill the pulpit and everything while they're gone, that would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of shifting to that, because we're kind of running on time. We're doing well. I didn't think those of you who knew we had a time limit probably wouldn't have thought I'd been able to do it. Because there's a lot of rumors going about me that I'm long-winded.
No.
Who said that?
Pastor Chris.
Pastor Chris. You're fired.
Lindsay's like, no, we ain't.
Yeah, yeah. So, can you talk to us about funding? Like you said, you're about 50%. What are you guys, what's 100% for
well,
you guys?
Our budget is actually $5,000 a month, mm-hmm. which sounds like a lot. But you do have to take into account that includes our travel. We have a very expensive airfare that we have to pay for our whole family. Retirement, because World Missions wants to make sure that we're not going to come home someday and be like, what do I do now?
That's right.
You know, this is a long-term thing. So it changes the budget package quite a bit. We've got insurance, health insurance that we have to worry about. We have to have insurance in the States and in Peru. Mm-hmm. So those are things, you know, the cost of living may be lower there, but then we have all these other things that we have to worry about. So $5,000 a month is the number that we're looking for.
So it's not paying for the Bentley.
It is not. In fact, we're looking at a little, somebody told us about an old bug that, a VW bug that might be available. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. You're speaking my wife's language now. Yeah. My wife has always wanted a Volkswagen Beetle. And I have no clue why.
This will be after kids, of course, because they're not all going to fit in there.
That was my thought when they said bug. I don't know about this. Maybe they meant a Jetta. I don't know.
So, well, let's start here. How can we pray for you? Let's start there.
So the main thing that God has put in my heart for this very question is start praying for those 100 pastors right now. Pray for that we find them. First, and then second, that they are mature enough to handle the new church. Yeah. And that from there, that the Lord was basically saying, the Spirit was saying that if you can get those foundational blocks in place, then the churches will go from there. Or, of course, he'll work with them to go from there. The other prayer, of course, is just, for me, language. I can understand 75% on a good day. And then, but speaking is another story. So that's that. And the kids, just pray for them that they can handle the transition well. Pivy's excited, but we'll see, or just want to make certain that excitement doesn't turn into you know, other less desirable things. So those are the main things. Yeah, pray for the kids and language, the pastors, and then I guess just keep on believing for peace for us, because even this last week, we kind of really wrestling with staying at peace about that the funds are going to come in on time and things like that. I mean, for all of those that know, it's you have to walk by faith, and you don't always see that things are coming through, so it's you got to and just keep on going despite some panic. And so, yeah, peace, children, language, pastors, please.
All right. Well, I have two more questions before we transition this. So, ushers, if you guys want to get ready, do we give them the mm-hmm. cards? Okay. So how can we help you get on the field?
Okay. It's called Faith Commitment, and silly me didn't even bring a card up here. But the ushers are getting ready to pass out our Faith Commitment cards. If you think you already have one, you don't, because this is a new card. It has our new photo. Thank you very much. I just want to explain how this works for those of you who may not be familiar with the IPHC Faith Commitment System. So it folds in half. the top half that has our photo on it and our information on the back is for you to keep. The second half is the part that you would return to us, or if you pray about it and decide later this week that you want to support us, you can send it through the church. But it says, yes, I want to be a partner in your ministry, God being my helper. I will pray for you and support you monthly with, and then you select the amount or you write in your own amount. This is considered faith commitment because you, by faith, are believing that God will provide the amount that you have committed to support the missionary with. We're not asking you to do anything that we don't do. We ourselves also support other missionaries. So this is the way that it works. It is not, you know, we appreciate love offerings, and that's great. That helps us with immediate needs. But it's this monthly support that people give regularly that keeps us on the field and gets us to the field because they have to see that it's there. You know, our World Missions team, they care about our family, and they don't want to send us out there and then have to turn around in 6 months and bring us back because the money's gone. Mm-hmm. So they want to make sure that people have committed and that they are following through with their commitment. Yeah. That doesn't mean that anybody's going to come knock on your door. Don't worry. They're not going to say, hey, you committed $50 last month and you didn't give it. But, you know, just remember that it is by faith you believe that God will give this amount. Did you have something to add?
So we're looking for a team. This is a team effort. One of the greatest analogies I've heard, and you might have heard it already, but pretty much all of Christendom is kind of like this in many ways. Imagine someone's fallen in the well, and you're sending people down to get that person. They can't, or it's not easy, just tie the rope to some tree and go down. You need people to hold that rope as the one person that's tied to the rope to go down and get that lost person. So likewise, we need a team of people to hold our rope as we go down to the lost people. And it, you know, can apply to pastors and et cetera. So we need you guys to be our team members. And in addition, this is two ways. We get to pray for you. You get to pray for us. We get to, I hope and pray that we all become friends, even deeper than some of you we are, who we are friends with. So that's the concept. And we're working together to get God's work done as a team.
So one of the core values of Harvest, way before I got here, has been world missions. You guys, as a church, have supported world missions tremendously. Amen?
Not just world missions. You guys have always supported us, and we do appreciate that.
And so we were joking last night. My pastor had a saying. He loved cheesy, cliche-ish sayings, but I think he stole it from John Maxwell. The simple saying is this: it takes teamwork to make the dream work. Dream work, right? So it takes teamwork to make the dream work. Well, the only way that this dream works is if the team steps up. Amen. And so, listen, I'm asking you today. I got one more question before we close out, and don't go anywhere. We have another portion of this service to go. But I'm asking you to pray and ask God, what would He have for you to give in ongoing support to Jason and Katrina and what they're doing, what they're going to be a part of to reach the world? Amen? So, last question.
What's your deepest, darkest?
No, I'm just kidding. What sin do you want to confess before the people today? No, can we come and visit?
Definitely. The church that the main church that we'll be working with there, they actually have facilities to house teams up to 40 people. Mm-hmm. So we are equipped to have teams come down. It's a great place to bring first timers because it's fairly safe. Spanish is somewhat familiar. It's not as long of a trip as, you know, trying to fly to Africa or something. You don't have to deal with time zone changes, really. It's either the same hour or it's an hour ahead. Flights are shorter. It's a little bit cheaper. So it's a great place to bring first timers. We would love to have a Harvest team come see us. We would love to do it every year or every 6 months or whatever. There's all kinds of ministry opportunities. Anything you can think of, we can find a way for you to do it.
Awesome. Any Harvest folks that would like to take a trip to Peru, wave at me.
Come on. And we can take you to Machu Picchu if you want to go. Point in going Machu Picchu.
Oh, okay.
Seven wonders of the world.
Yes. Sorry. That caught me off guard. I thought she started speaking in tongues for a second. I was going interpretation. And so, so again, would you be interested? Anybody interested in taking a trip to Peru? Wave at me. Hey, listen, we've got our people over there, right? I'm a firm believer in our people, right? I believe that God gives you people. And when your people are doing something, I believe it's great for us, not just to give, and we want to give and we want to support, but I think it would be absolutely awesome to get a plane full of harvest folks in the air. It's going to be loud, I will tell you that. You get a plane full of harvest folks in the air, but get us over there and see and support what you guys are doing. Hey, would you give Jason and Katrina a great big hand as we make this transition?